There we go. I know I'm on. I'm going to move this down, maybe. You can hear me breathing. There we go. Well, we could have stayed praising and worshiping God for another 45 minutes, I think. There's something about Him knowing our name. There's something about the comfort of God. Something about the Word of God. There's just something about God. Something about God. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray because we're going to see where God takes us. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to bring your word forth, Lord God. Use me as you would have me. Use my words as you would have them be. Father God, I just thank you wholeheartedly for all that you've done in my life and the life of my family. You are good. So good. Thank you, God. Let the word that comes forth tonight just fill hearts, Lord God, with hope and with power in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to take a second. We're going to, the last few times I've been up here, I did that little cliffhanger 2 weeks ago with Psalm 23. And then last week we read another psalm. So I'm gonna ask you to do the same thing again one more time. Let's take some time to just drink in the word. So if you would, please go ahead and close your eyes with me. Well, not with me, I'm going to read, but close your eyes for me, and let's hear what God has to say. In Psalm 112, in the Passion Translation, shout in celebration of praise to the Lord. Everyone who loves the Lord and delights in Him will cherish His words and be blessed beyond expectation. Their descendants will be prosperous and influential. Every generation of the righteous will experience His favor. Great blessing and wealth fills the house of the wise, for their integrity endures forever. Even if darkness overtakes them, sunrise brilliance will come bursting through, because they are gracious to others, so tender and true. Life is good for the one who is generous and charitable, conducting affairs with honesty and truth. Their circumstances will never shake them, and others will never forget their example. They will not live in fear or dread of what may come, for their hearts are firm, ever secure in their faith. Steady and strong, they will not be afraid, but will calmly face their every foe until they all go down in defeat. Never stingy and always generous to those in need, they live lives of influence and honor that will never be forgotten, for they were full of good deeds. But the wicked take one look at a life lived like this, and they grit their teeth in anger, not understanding their bliss. The wicked slink away speechless in the darkness that falls, where hope dies and all their dreams fade away to nothing, nothing at all. Come on now. God bless you. God is good. God is good. Oh, this would be, I mean, I'm looking at, this is called in the Passion, they call this psalm the triumph of faith.
Amen.
The triumph of faith. That's a good word. How faith helps you to triumph over evil. How faith, if faith properly exercised and put to work, keeps you from being afraid. How faith will help your descendants to be prosperous and fruitful. Faith brings a blessing of wealth that fills your home.
Amen.
Something that Pastor Ricky has been saying a lot is suddenly.
Amen.
Even in this scripture, I found a suddenly. In verse 4, it says, even if darkness overtakes them, sunrise brilliance will come bursting through. As if God said, suddenly, the light will shine in the darkness.
Amen.
God is a God of suddenly. God is a God of goodness. God is a God who rewards faith. In fact, nothing is pleasing to God except for faith. So if we're not living and working and walking in faith, then we're not pleasing to God, and that's upsetting, right? It should be upsetting to us. God's not sitting up there, and whenever you stumble in your faith, he doesn't flick you with his God finger and knock you over. He's not in that business. Thank God for his gracious love towards us, that when we do stumble, that he comes alongside of us, picks us up, says, here you go. Go on, continue on. That grace gives us more faith to believe for what God has for us. The microphone peaked. Got a little nervous. But that's my God, right? That's the God I serve. That's why I serve. Because God is so good. Tonight I want to talk about, I'm actually going to talk about power of being able to witness to people. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where I've got a ton of notes in here and my little stickies. But there was something just stirring on the inside as they were singing that last song about trusting in God. God being your friend, God loving you and helping you through things. In Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who says to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." God is there to help you. God wants nothing but the best for you. God, the God of the Bible is not a God of punishment and wrath. In all, his people were always blessed till they were stiff-necked and ugly, right? And then it wasn't that God punished them. God removed his hand from them. There's a big difference. It's like if you've raised kids or you have kids, this could be like something you can look forward to. Eventually you've spanked them enough to, and they still want to do something stupid. Right? And so the spanking and holding them and stopping them kind of it protected them, if you would let me say it that way, right? But eventually they haven't learned their lesson. The swattings haven't worked. Let them go.
Amen.
And so they... I'll tell on myself. We were spanked frequently. Not, we weren't abused. Don't go after my mom. But they took care of business, right? My dad worked at a garage. And there was a garage, and next door was a junkyard. In that junkyard were junkyard dogs. But also in that junkyard, right next to the beautiful fence, were these rocks that the guy who owned the junkyard, he liked to tumble the rocks. And so he had all these beautiful, shiny rocks that were just wonderful to look at. And we liked collecting rocks for my dad and giving them to him, and he'd keep them in his toolbox, and he thought that was great, and we thought it was awesome. And he had told us to stop taking the rocks from the other side of the gate. A dog was going to get us one day. I could say, "Dad, your words, your faith words worked, and I got bit by a dog." I won't blame him, though. Because he was just trying to warn me.
Yes.
Right? I remember we had been spanked for even getting next to the gate. Well, one day when I was 5 years old, I believe I was about 5 years old, I put my hand through that gate, and a dog took most of my hand off. Strange thing, watching an animal eat part of your body. It really is weird. But the dog ran away, and it, as I watched him consume part of my hand, I got on that to tell you that God isn't punishing you because you messed up. Now, if you have messed up and you're not in fellowship, right standing with God, because you haven't asked for forgiveness for something, or you're holding a grudge or something like that, God is not punishing you. You're not getting a come up in because you're doing something wrong. God has simply had to take his hand off of your situation until you get back into right standing with God. God is not a God who punishes and pushes down on you with his thumb. He's a God who forgives. Now, God does correct those that he loves. I get that. I'm not taking away from that. But that's that. Don't do that. Stop that. And the Holy Spirit, when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, when you're sealed, that thing that most humans call conscience is actually the Holy Spirit speaking to you. So when you've accepted Jesus and you start to feel those pulls, that is your correction. That's your correction. Hey bud, don't go there. Hey, you don't need to hang out with that guy. Don't say those words. They're not good. And then when you continuously walk in that life, having the light that you need from God on a situation, then God has to take his hands away and allow what will be to be at that point. It is what it is. It's just you've fought and, you know, butted your head against God so long, he just, all right, learn your lesson. The cool thing is that God has an abundance of grace for even that. God is good, right? God loves us. He's my friend. And then I look at that Psalm 112, and I see all the promises of God in there. The only one that wasn't mentioned is health. But prosperity's in there, not just for you, but for your family and your descendants, your kids. Because you're the righteousness of God. Jesus died to make you the righteousness of God. Jesus came to this earth with one purpose. Atonement. And he did it. And in that atonement, all the curse was set aside. And if all the curse was set aside, poverty was set aside, sickness was set aside, death was set aside, all of it was set aside. That's my God. That's the God I serve. That's the God of the Bible. These people that have this odd, this weird thought about God, a God who would rather take a magnifying glass and burn you up. I mean, we might feel that way. We live in Bullhead City. I get it. But that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible loves his people. In John 20, and now I'm going to get off into some of my lesson and see if God lets me even get too far into it. We're gonna go by it though. Jesus has already Jesus has already gone away, and he's back on earth. He hasn't had his actual ascension yet. And Jesus finds the disciples, and he's with them. And I'll just read from verse 19. You can use New King James. It's John 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came in and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were then glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained." This is the first event. I call it event. I don't know what theologians call it. But there are two distinct events dealing with the Holy Spirit: the receiving of and the infilling. Amen. Okay? This is the receiving of. Yes. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you believe that he died for your sins and that God raised them on the third day, and you believe it with all of your heart, and you've confessed your sins, you have received the Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't have to breathe on you. The Holy Spirit has come and made His dwelling place with you, and He has sealed you for the day of the Lord. You belong to God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have the benefits of the friendship that we were just talking about. Saw at that point in your life, Psalm 112 is yours. But Jesus, before He goes, He says, but you shall receive, and this is in Acts 1, this is verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and into the ends of the earth. Everybody got that? So Jesus, this is Jesus promising something else is coming.
Yes.
He says, tarry here a little while so that you may receive power from on high.
Yes.
Everybody got it? Power from on high, so that you can witness for me in the whole world. Before, did they already have the Holy Spirit? Yes, they did. Do Christians that don't necessarily believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, do they have the Holy Spirit? They do. They are Christians. They believe in Jesus, and they are saved, and they are going to heaven. But me, little old me, I feel like some power can go a long way.
Amen.
There's something about being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's something about being so bold because you're just lit up on the inside to bring the Word forth in a way that just astounds people.
Yes.
What? That's the face sometimes you might want. The Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, enables you, it opens a whole new realm of prayer up for you. It opens a whole new layer of witnessing for you because there is a boldness that comes. In just a couple of minutes, I'll talk to you about how they knew that they were Jesus because the way they spoke. God makes you look smart even when you may not be. It's funny, I'm kind of, I'm a little... boisterous or whatever when I'm here. This is one of the places where I'm actually free to be me, right? But get me outside of my comfort zone in a capacity where I'm not talking about God, and I will shut up. I know you guys don't believe it. But I am. I really, like, I'm a salesperson. And if I'm outside of my desk, probably not going to do much. It's the anointing that helps me. It's the anointing that helps me here. Before I couldn't talk to you about Jesus with any authority. I didn't know I had authority. But something happened. I came here. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Next thing you know, I'm a Jesus ninja, right? I can throw those Jesus ninja stars, the whole thing. And it comes from the power that God has put on me, the anointing that God has allowed me to have to speak to people. When I was a child, I kind of almost ruined an entire Christmas play at a church. We were called the Joyful Noise. We were kids, right? And I wouldn't sing. And there was only a few of us. You guys know what it's like. You know, you got three kids, that's all that's going to show up. Not here, but three kids, that's all that's going to show up to sing, and one of them is stage fright, like really bad.
I'm not going to sing.
Me. Not anymore. No. Oh, my bad. I don't actually sing. I'm not. The car ride. Sounded like somebody killed a cat or. The, We were on a drive with Pastor Ricky just recently, and I forgot what it was. And I wasn't trying to sing. I was being silly. But when I did it, he started laughing so loud. I said, fine, I'll never join the worship team. And everybody was fine with that. And I'm fine with that also. I can sing beautifully. I just act like I can't. So now about this power day. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues as of fire being distributed and resting on each of them. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Skip down to verse 6. When this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were confounded because each man heard them speaking in his own language. They said, we hear them each in our own native tongue. And then down a little bit further says, we hear them speaking in our own languages the mighty works of God. Churches that don't believe in the infilling of Spirit, speaking in tongues, they actually equate to this, that they were just speaking different languages. They all heard them in their own tongue. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if Heather's speaking Spanish and Jim is speaking like Cantonese, I'm going to hear Heather in Spanish and Jim in Cantonese. I will not hear them in each in my own tongue, right? I don't speak Spanish or Cantonese. Don't get that wrong. But here's the thing. They all heard them each in their own tongue.
Yes. Amen.
So that's not, they were just speaking other languages. No. The Spirit speaking through them by the Spirit enabled everybody to hear in their own tongue. It's like those things they hook on the ears at the UN. One guy's talking, it's being translated a million different ways in an instant. Only better because Jesus didn't leave any words out. That is the power of God. That a whole group of people, thousands of people, because wasn't it 5,000 people? Was that the day 5,000 received the Lord? 5,000 people received the Lord. Can you imagine? Think about that. You're just in the marketplace doing your ministry. You don't understand a word you're saying. And then 5,000 people say, can I give my life to Jesus? That is the power from on high that God was talking about. If you are not already speaking in tongues, not already having your prayer language, you have the ability, you have access to that power where you sit.
Amen.
You have power, you have access to that power where you sit. Acts 3 or 4, 8, this is where Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to him, rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we today are being examined concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, how this man has been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you. Whole. Here's Peter. Fisherman Peter. Now he was kind of a, you know, tough dude. At least he was a loudmouth. I don't know that he was a tough dude, but he pulled nets in like all day. He had to have some biceps. So here's Peter. He's not an educated man by what we can tell, right? He didn't go to college. He's probably been fishing since he was this big. So he's educated in fishing, but in speaking? No. And in front of the rulers, now you know that the rulers in that day were all religious scholars. They actually wanted somebody with education to rule them. A little bit of intellect. And I don't know if you guys, so I do get to talk to people that are more affluent than I am in situation or in certain realms, I guess you could say, however you want to put it. I would not think to talk about the battlefield and battlefield mechanics with Pastor Ricky. He's been there. Steve's been on boats, ships in the Navy. Mark builds motors, and he races boats. When they're talking about their craft or whatever they do, I sit quietly by, and I listen, and I glean information. Because I have nothing to say. None of these guys have made me feel little about that. But I had, I was talking with my family, and they're all motorheads. I was at my grandma's funeral. Bunch of motorheads and mechanics and welders and stuff like that. All people that use their hands. I have soft hands for a reason. God made me that way. I felt tiny and insignificant. Brain-wise, and this is not me like bragging, but brain-wise, I can put them all to rest from an intellectual standpoint. But man, the things they know about how a car works. I had nothing to say, and I felt that way. I felt insignificant. So you can only imagine that Peter, without the Holy Spirit, probably felt a little insignificant. He might have felt insignificant until the anointing fell and gave him the words to say. In fact, I can almost guarantee you that's exactly how it was. As they were examining him, which means charging him with doing something wrong, he is sitting there under threat of maybe being possibly being stoned or whooped or whatever it is, probably feeling like, oh my gosh, this may be it. And then the Holy Spirit hit him, power hit him, boom. Now he's the smartest guy in the room. The leaders went on to say, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were illiterate and uneducated men, they marveled and recognized that they had been with Jesus. Here's illiterate men speaking to the rulers of the world that were far from illiterate. I mean, their part of their job was to read. That is the God that I serve. That is the power that He makes available to those who believe. Yes. Amen. And we come in here on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we, not us, but church members, the people aren't here, of course, right? Like Pastor Ricky says. We sing a song. We might lift our hands, but maybe we don't. Maybe we have an emotional feeling because some people are moved to emotion with music. I'm moved to emotion with pretty much anything, so it's easy. But we're not really entering in. Immense power. And we're afraid to step forward and to take it. Because maybe somebody might look at us weird. Maybe we might feel uncomfortable. We gotta get as a whole, as a church, we have to get past this point. Steve made mention of serving when he was talking about the kids' meeting. There's nothing better than serving with kids. There's really not. Steve served with kids. He conveniently left that out. Steve taught in Kids Life for about a year, maybe more. He did a great job. I know I'd sit and sneak back there because it was my job to make sure that they weren't doing anything crazy, you know. And I listened to him, and he had those kids just eating the word out of the palm of his hands. They listened intently, and they enjoyed the service. And there's a reward to that. Earl said, when you refresh others, you'll be refreshed. Amen. Did you know that when you give, when you sow service into the body, you are helping to refresh the body?
Yes.
How great the reward, right? If I'm refreshing the body of Christ, how great a reward. Because the body of Christ will in turn refresh me. I mean, it's great when you can give somebody a super fat tip and leave them the card, or not even leave them the card. Or you can go and you can buy somebody food, right? Now, look, you're not looking for a reward. It's not about what they can get back to you or even what God can get back to you.
Amen.
But there is something to be said about refreshing the body of Christ and being refreshed by the body of Christ. Time and time again, this particular body has helped my family and in crazy situations, and they have refreshed us. But it comes with helping. It's not contingent. Our pastors will pray for you. We will pray for you. Pretty much anybody here will pray for you if you need prayer. We like doing that. But it's like getting the most of it when you're giving. When you're part of it. I don't know how to explain it better than that. Is that in giving your time, when you have, especially you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you, pushing you to serve, pushing you to witness, pushing you to do. There's this, I guess it would be like getting prayer and not, I don't know, getting prayer and when you're not serving, it takes care of it, fills it, God will always bless it,
yes.
Right? But it's like pasta without sauce. Whereas when you're serving and you're part of the body and you're part of the moving and you're part of doing what God is doing, and you reach out and you refresh somebody, when you're in turn refreshed, it is returned to you with whatever. I mean, maybe you like Alfredo. Cool, we'll call it Alfredo. I love marinara. God bless you, by the way. That's what it's like.
Amen.
We should take advantage of the power of God. We should take advantage of what He has for us. We should serve the church as the church has a need. Not desperation, but a need. There's always a need. Ask somebody.
Yes.
We'll point you in the right direction. Yes. I don't help with the kids anymore. Send them somewhere else. To Richard and Brittany. Right? Psalm 37:5 says, actually, I'm going to go up to 3. And this goes back to being fixed in with God. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in His eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will dwell in the land, feasting on His faithfulness. Find your delight and true pleasure in Yahweh, and He will give you what you desire the most. Give God the right to direct your life, and as you trust Him along the way, you'll find He pulled it off perfectly. We get in our own ways too often. Stephanie posted, I think you posted that thing today, the Scooby-Doo picture. And it was amazing. And it's Fred from Scooby-Doo getting ready to unmask who's getting in the way of Jesus' way in his life. He pulls the mask off and it's Fred. Get out of the way of God in your life. Stop being afraid to accept the power that God has made available. There is some of it, like some going and saying, I want the power of God. It kind of seems like you might be a little weird, right? Maybe it seems a little arrogant, But can I tell you that the arrogance is not in the wanting and desiring to follow after what God has for you and ask God for the power that he's made available to you? The arrogance is thinking that you can make it through life and do what we do as Christians without that power. That is the true arrogance. Because you're basically saying, I can Christian without the Holy Spirit being filled inside, being filled with the Holy Spirit. No, you can't. You can fake it till you make it to heaven. Don't do that. Let's get that power available to you. Let's not put it off any longer. Let's go after the things that God has for us. Let's watch God open the windows of heaven. Let's watch God move Bullhead City. Let's start talking the way God would talk. Doing things the way God would do them. And it starts with the power that's available to you now. It starts with accepting the Holy Spirit filling you. And you just got to get out of your mind. Get out of your mind. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'll ask you this. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you had the second event in your life? If you haven't, that's cool. Don't let today pass. That power is available to you now. And if you want, I invite you up to the altar and I will pray with you. And we will get you filled up. So the scriptures talk time and time again as when they had hands laid on them, they were filled with the Spirit. And if that's you, if you need that infilling, come forward right now. There's no time like the present. Spirit Life Church is a filling station. We're filling people up and sending them out, getting them ready to work for God. So, seriously, if that's you, I just want you to come up, let me pray for you.